Well, let's all turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And let me remind you that we started this series. This is the series on delightful prayer. Because we found out that that's one thing that you can depend on, is that people know they're supposed to pray, but nobody feels like they do it enough. How about you? Anybody here feel like you don't pray enough? Is there anybody here that prays all you should? Anybody here that reads the Word all you should? Anybody here that does all the good deeds you should do? No. Well, that's because we're not based on our works. That's why we need the blood of Yeshua, because He did it all. Do you know that? Think about this. The Bible said, reading through His life, that everything that He encountered, He used the Word of God on, didn't He? And any time through His life that you followed Him, He was given to prayer. We have times when He got up real early in the morning. We have times that He stayed out late at night. We just find that everything that was going on, He was talking to the Father, wasn't He? He did it. So He showed us a way. And who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil? He did all the good things He should do too. And we have to depend on Him, because there's no righteousness in us. But prayer should not be something that we think we have to put in our time about. That's a problem, you know. Well, I've got to put my time in. And, you know, we'll hear people talking about, well, I prayed for 2 hours. You know, who would tell anybody else when they talk to someone else for 2 hours? You know, I mean, that's just conversation, right? You know, I spent 2 hours with my girlfriend. Boy, I really did a good thing. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? You might spend 10 hours with her and you wouldn't think that was overdoing it, would you? No. But we do that when we talk about God, because somehow we've got this religious idea about prayer, and because it's religious, religion has a way of sapping the life out of things, pulling the life out of it, until people have made prayer drudgery. And people, if they want to impress somebody, they'll say, well, I pray, and my prayers are really heard. Well, everybody's prayers are heard. You know, that's almost blasphemy to act like your prayers are stronger than someone else's. The Bible says anybody that comes in the name of Jesus and requests anything, their prayers work. So who would want to brag about how strong their prayers are? It's not your prayers, it's our God that answers your prayers. Amen? Be careful about the things you say. You'll turn people off. People won't want to be around you if you do that. They'll say you're just religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to be like Jesus. Amen? I want to walk like He does and talk like He does and say the things He does and have the same goals He has. Amen? Because I have a destiny in Him to do what He says and to act like He acts. But God said in Exodus 25:22, He says, beneath these wings of the cherubim, I'll meet with you there. I'll meet with you there. You remember the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant? There was one on either side and their wings came out and met each other. He says, I'll meet with you there. That's called the mercy seat. Also has a word root that means propitiation. It's the place of propitiation where sins are taken away, where atonement was made. He says, I'll meet with you there. I'll meet with you there. I'll commune is the King James word. I'll commune with you. Any of you ever take communion? You know what most people think communion is? Getting a wafer on their tongue real quick, and some of them even get a little drink with it. That's not communion. That's just doing a religious thing. Communing is when we come together and break bread in His presence and let the Spirit of God move in the midst of that. Why do we do it? Because Yeshua said, do it in remembrance of me. What a wonderful idea, huh? Something else so I can remember Him. So I can be like He is. So it's about communion. But it's not just about communion. It's about a joy-filled communion. It's joyous to pray. It ought to be delightful. See, we do this with everything we do. I have to go to church. If you have to go to church, you're in trouble. Amen. If you have to go to church, you're in trouble. If you don't go because you want to be there, you're in trouble. Now, don't go home and say, "Pastor said we don't have to come to church anymore." Because I didn't say that. But I said, you're in trouble if you don't want to. You're in trouble. I was glad. Isn't that what David said? I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord, and let us exalt His name together." Did you know the Bible says, "Let us exalt His name together, and the afflicted will hear thereof and be glad." People that are afflicted, people that are hurting will hear about your worship of God and be glad. While you exalt God, it'll make them glad. It's a joy-filled thing. In fact, Yeshua told us how to pray. The disciples said, "Well, teach us to pray." And He didn't say, "Okay, this is the prayer you're supposed to say. Write it down," did He? What did He say? He said, "After this manner." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 says, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye." After this manner. Now, if you knew anything about rabbinic teaching, you'd know the rabbis had a way of teaching by outline. They taught outlines. And because they were confident of their hearers that they were Torah students, they knew the Word of God. They were Torah students. Many times they wouldn't quote the whole verse. They'd just quote major points. And the expectation was that you would fill in the text. And how easy that would be on preachers nowadays. But did you know most preachers nowadays can't depend on their people to be word students? Torah students? You say, "What's Torah?" Torah's law. We're not under the law. Isn't that what people always tell you? Torah's law. We're not under the law. Well, I got good news for you. The Bible didn't ever say the Torah was law. It said within the Torah there is law. But Torah is instruction. It's teaching. The teaching of the Word of God. And even though we know, according to Galatians, that Christ was the end of the law for righteousness, but no place does it say He was the end of the law. In fact, He Himself said, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle, not one yod or one stroke will pass from My law." And so He was teaching them as a rabbi teaches. And He was telling them, "You know, I'm going to bring things to your mind that are going to, main points that are going to bring the Word to your mind." They're going to bring the Word. See, Torah, if it's instruction, goes from where? Where does it start? At the beginning. Barashit or Genesis. Where does it end up? Revelation. Or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's still going on. Things are still being recorded. But the instruction we need is right here. All the Word of God. Now, what I've been doing you and teaching you these precepts of prayer is I've been letting the expansion come out of it. I've been expanding what He said. Because He said in the beginning, "After this manner, pray ye." Avinu Avinu Shabashayim Shamayim. It's pretty hard to get all those syllables in. Means our Father which is in heaven. Yitkadal vayitkadesh Shemei Rabbah. Sanctified and magnified is Your holy and wonderful name. That's the same things, and these were spoken throughout history by the Jews. These were prayers that are in the Jewish prayer book. Did you know that? Avinu Shabashamayim. There it came out right. Our Father, which is in heaven, holy, magnified, sanctified, is Your great name. He said, pray like that. And we've stopped right at that point because, you know, we realize that there's so much into that. When you sanctify and magnify the name of God, here comes an expansion. We're going to expand on that. And we started and we realized that the name of God, the name He told us in Exodus 19, was Yahweh. And you'll have to pardon us if we don't pronounce it properly because nobody knows how to pronounce it. We've settled on Yahweh because it just seems to have that. Some people say, no, it's Yahweh. And the Jews, or the Germans, German Jews, took it and really kind of spelled it out Jehovah. And the reason it came out Jehovah in German is because you listen to a German say a J. And how do Germans say J's? They say, if they tell you that they went to Yale, it's not an honorable thing. They were in jail, weren't they? So we need to understand that, you know, the name is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's a holy name. And that name has in it Esher Hayah Esher. I am that I am. I am, I was, I will be is included in that name. Eternity. The eternity of God is in that. In addition to that, we know that Yahweh is gracious and compassionate. He tells us that about Himself. I am gracious and compassionate. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord, Yahweh, is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. So we have a picture of who Yahweh is. He's the grace-giving, merciful, loving, eternal God, isn't He? He's God that's forever and ever, and He never changes. That's what the Scripture tells us. So we're hallowing or setting apart, sanctifying that name that's above every name, Yahweh. And that's what the Scripture says. Well, in addition to that, throughout Scripture, He gives us compound names that have to do with covenant and redemption. Covenant and redemption. I have three of them up here, and we're going to go into the next one today. But there's Yahweh Tzidkenu, Yahweh Mekadesh, Yahweh Shema. Those are the three names, meaning Yahweh our righteousness, Yahweh who sanctifies, and Yahweh is there. And we've talked about those three. And today we're going to talk about Yahweh Shalom. Can anybody tell me what Yahweh Shalom is? What would that be? The Lord, our peace. I hesitate to use peace, but all the way through your English scriptures, you're going to find peace. Shalom is really a word that goes beyond peace. It goes beyond peace. And just to help you a little bit, if you ask the chief rabbi, Billy Brim spent a lot of time in Israel studying, and she asked the language experts there, well, tell me about shalom. Well, first of all, shalom is a word that comes from a root word, shalem. And shalem means whole. Whole. And so when you take shalom, you're talking about something that's whole, but it's expanding on it. And they said the best way you could understand this is nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. So we're talking about Yahweh, our covenant-keeping God, who has redeemed us with His name, Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. We're going to talk about that name today. But before we do, we're going to remember Psalm 103, which gives us instructions. And this is what Yeshua was expecting people to do when He said to pray after this manner. He said in Psalm 103, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now the soul of man is not the spirit of man. The soul of man is where the mind, will, and emotions of man reside. And so He's making a command to his mind, will, and emotions to set their attention on God. Bless Yahweh, O my nephesh, my soul, my soul. Keep Him in your thoughts. Focus on Him. Try to shut out other things so that He can be central in your life. How many of you know that's a tough job to keep Yahweh and keep Jesus in the middle? Isn't that tough? I mean, that's the thing we have to do all the time. There's always something vying for your attention, isn't there? How many know that old adage, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? And God doesn't squeak. God, for the most part, is still and small. Amen? A still, small in voice. Now, He's a big God, but He doesn't demand your attention. He gives you a choice. And so the psalmist tells us we need to bless the Lord, or tell our soul to bless God and remember His holy, that's what hallowed name is, remember His holy name. bless His holy name. The second verse says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Easiest thing in the world to do. You get into pressure and stress and trouble. What do? Well, look at 99.9% of us. If sickness strikes, what's the first thing you think of? Now, maybe this isn't you. I pray it isn't. But the first thing people think of is doctors and medicine. Is that right? Or is the first thing you think of is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord my healer? You see, that's what these verses, these names that we find, these covenantal names of God do. They remind us of His benefits. His benefits are what He has redeemed us from. Amen? Don't forget His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. We won't read the rest of that Psalm 103 today, but it goes on and it lists the benefits of being forgiven from your iniquities and healed from your diseases and missing hell. We don't have to go to the lake of fire, praise God. Amen? That's a benefit. How many know that? In fact, that's the best benefit you got, isn't it? Miss that lake of fire. But it even talks then about how we're supposed to reign in life. How we're supposed to live this life. But today we're going to look in the context of this communion with God, thinking about communing with Him, remembering His benefits. That means to meditate and to mutter His name. Meditate and mutter and speak His revealed name. We're going to remember Yahweh in this name, Yahweh Shalom. Don't forget His benefits. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, don't forget His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. Amen? Everybody tell one another, don't forget. Don't forget. We're here today to remind one another so we won't forget His benefits. That's what we're here to do. You know, it's an easy thing to do that we start out with the church confession. I confess that Jesus is my healer. I confess that He's my righteousness. I confess that He's sanctified me. I confess that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Excuse me. That He supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. But you know what? We don't watch it. We get out into what some lady here one time told someone. Well, that's in the Bible, but I live in the real world. You know about that? Now, you wouldn't say that, but some of you probably thought it. This stuff in the Bible works real good for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, but it doesn't work that good for me, right? But it does. It's because they thought about it all the time. We find out that those people went up to the temple to pray. They spent time seeking God. They had the Shacharit, the standing prayer, the Amidah in the morning, and they had the Mincha in the afternoon, and then they had an evening prayer too, didn't they? They had prayers all day long that they did. And what were their prayers? Well, let me just tell you a little secret about praying. Praying is not making up something that sounds real poetic and nice or real religious. You know, we can all get into the sanctified voice, Almighty God, my Heavenly Father, I worship You, O Lord, my God. No, that's not what God's looking for. I'll tell you what He likes to hear. He likes to hear His Word. But mainly He likes to hear His Word go into you and come back out through your mouth. He likes that. When it gets in there and it starts becoming revelation and you begin to speak it. And since we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, we ought to be speaking it all the time so that we hear it. He knows we're doing us good when we do that. And so that's what prayer is. In fact, the Bible talks about prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God, but most people don't quote it right. They say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Period. Well, the King James writers didn't even put a period there. And many other translations don't. If you would read it right, it would say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. The Word of God praying always. You know, if you get that down in your spirit and begin to understand that this is where prayer really begins, when I get the Word of God inside of me so that it starts coming back forth out of me, So that the first thing I think of when sickness attacks is, he sent his word and healed me. And the second things I think of, and it doesn't have to be in any particular order, is that none of these diseases shall come upon me. And himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And by his stripes I was healed. Those are parts, quoting parts of the word of God that just come up out of my spirit. Years ago, when I stuck my hand in a wrong place in a log splitter, maybe the best illustration about how that happens. How many of you know what would happen if you had your hand behind the log up against the plate in a log splitter? Well, let me just give you just a simple word that's not gory. Pressure. Pressure. Extreme pressure. The results were more gory than that, but it was pressure. You know that? But I've got to tell you, because I had been hiding God's word in my heart, the words that came out of me weren't, "Oh no, I'm going to lose my hand." By the way, you see, I didn't. That's not a prosthetic. That's real. They were all smashed. They looked ugly. The thing that my eyes saw lied to me. They told me it was going to be bad. My brother-in-law said, "That's horrible." And I said, "It's going to be fine, because by his stripes I was healed. He took my infirmities." I went to the house because he said, my brother-in-law said, "Well, I think you still ought to go in and take care of it." When I told him it was going to be fine. And we put some stitches in it, or the doctors did. But you know what? They told me, "I don't know if you'll have use of your fingers. I don't know if you'll ever have a fingernail on this finger again." This finger, the tip was gone on it. It was just hanging by just a little bit. But they sewed it back around there, and praise God. Amen. God's good. Well, see, pressure. What happens when you squeeze a toothpaste tube? You put pressure on the side and toothpaste comes out. Should be with people of God that when you squeeze them and put pressure on them, and that's what tribulation is, by the way. Tribulation is pressure. When you get tribulation, the Word of God ought to just start coming out of you. That's the thing that should come out. It's better than Pepsodent. Amen. It's good stuff. Bring the word out. So that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about this redemption now. Yahweh Shalom. Redemption from brokenness. Redemption for the whole man. Every part of this takes care of part of our redemption. Every one of his redemptive names. And we read about it in Judges. Gideon was in Judges. You remember Gideon? And Gideon was a fearful man. In fact, when God came to get Gideon, Gideon was hiding. He was hiding for fear of the Midianites. You remember that? All the people were hiding at that time because the Midianites would wait until they got their crops almost ready to harvest, then they'd come in and burn them. A lot of you don't know this, but that's the big cause of famines in Africa, is because neighboring tribes burn other tribes out. That's what it's all about. They're trying to kill them off. We hear about famine and we just think, well, they're having a bad drought. But a lot of times that's not the case. Well, that was the thing going on in Israel. And so Gideon was hiding. And God came and found Gideon and said to Gideon, "Hey, Gideon, mighty man of valor." And I always got this picture in my mind, you know, that Gideon looked over his shoulder to see who was standing behind him. A mighty man of valor must be back there. But God was talking to Gideon, wasn't he? And God gave Gideon a tremendous sign. He told him to make up a sacrifice for him. Actually, some cakes, some oil, and fire came down from heaven and got him. And we always kind of read it, you know, King James style, you know, and Gideon called the name of the place. But, you know, Gideon built an altar there in the Lord, and he said, "Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh Shalom." I mean, he knew that wholeness was coming back to Israel at that time. And that's where that name came from. When Gideon built the altar after God devoured the sacrifices by fire, then Gideon said, "This place is going to be called Yahweh Shalom." Wholeness. Better than peace. Amen. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. In Isaiah 48:22, we know that shalom is not something that goes everywhere. Isn't that right? Because the scripture says there is no peace to who? To wicked people. No peace to the wicked. It's incompatible. Shalom and wickedness don't go together. You can have everything else, but you can't have shalom. Amen. if you're walking in wickedness. And so we also read in Jeremiah 6:14, talking about how people try to make peace. It says, "They have healed also the hurt of my daughter slightly." I thought that was pretty interesting. A slight healing. How many of you like slight healings? Well, that's what the scripture says. God says they've healed the hurt of my daughter, of my people, slightly. But what they're saying is what we're hearing right now. I heard today that, you know, the administration would like to get peace in Israel. Well, of course, everybody's wanted it for a long time. Does anybody know here what it would take for the Muslims to be at peace with Israel? What? That's right. That's the final answer. What's that? But for right now, in the natural, there is no peace with Israel except Israel's extinction, annihilation. They do not want to live peaceably. There is none. And even if one segment of it wants it, the Hamas doesn't want it. The Hezbollah doesn't want it. The Taliban doesn't want it. And if you really know the truth of the Quran, they don't want it. Islam does not want peace with Israel. If you read it all down, they talk about Jesus coming back, but it's not the Jesus I know. They say this Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to either allow everyone to turn to Islam, or he's going to kill them with a sword. That's what they say. That's not my Jesus. And so the scripture says we get a slight help once in a while, something that looks good once in a while. But you know what? They're saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. And you can remember this about every human solution. Doesn't make any difference whether it's a Republican solution, whether it's a Democrat solution, especially if it's a UN solution. There'll be no peace in it. Everybody understand that? You might as well understand it. If you don't understand it yet, you just start studying it carefully, and you're going to see that no shalom can come without what Kerry said. The thing that's going to cause Islamic people to love Israel is Yeshua. And the thing that will change will be when Islamic people come to Yeshua. They will not see Israel anymore as a foe, but they'll see him as a brother. And Israel, the Bible says, will look on him whom they pierced and will mourn as for an only son. So then at that time, there will be true shalom, true peace. But is there no peace right now? No, there's peace for us right now. Where is that peace? It's in our hearts. There's peace like a river, the Bible says. An old song says there's peace like a river and joy like a fountain. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Isaiah 9:6. Tells us that the kingdoms have to change. There has to be a kingdom change. The kingdoms of this world have to become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Amen. For unto us a child is born. The world has just celebrated that. I wish there was really more truth in what I just said, that the world was really celebrating the child that was born. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, say it with me, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. The Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Well, that's what has to happen, isn't it? The kingdoms have to change. There has to be a change to a new kingdom. And we all know that just reform's not going to put it into being, is it? You can reform. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions or are getting ready to? Oh, good. I'm glad. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest waste of time. You can spend some time just actually changing a little bit instead of making a resolution. Go out and do something nice for someone. Because you know what we know about resolutions is they're human attempts at changing. The only change comes through a change on the inside. Amen? That's what it does. And that came because of the blood covenant. The blood covenant. In Isaiah 54:10, Somebody said something about a little bit of this. Oh, you said it about the mountain this morning. But listen to this, because this kind of goes into that. It says, for the mountain shall depart. Did you know that the Bible says the mountains are going to be brought low and flattened? The mountains are going to depart. And the hills be removed. But my kindness, that's my chesed, my love, mercy, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness. My loving kindness, my love shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my shalom. If you don't mind, I want to change it to shalom every time I can. And if I say peace, you all shout back at me, shalom. The covenant of my shalom be removed. It'll never happen, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's what a blood covenant did for us. The blood covenant. And the scripture tells us that in Colossians 1:20 about that covenant, it says that having made shalom through the blood of his cross. That's how he did it. This covenant of shalom was cut through the shedding of the blood of Yeshua on the cross, on the execution stake, on Golgotha. He made peace. He made
shalom
through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile. We get a picture of what that's talking about. That's bringing everything back into one. Reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So what we know about all of these covenant things is, we found out that Yeshua had to become sin so that we could be righteous. Is that right? And he became an unholy thing and an unsanctified thing so that God could sanctify us. You say, that just doesn't seem right. And people have argued about this. Theologians have argued. But Yeshua had to go to hell for us. I say, he had to go to hell for us. He had to pay the penalty for our sin. He was unsanctified. He was tamei, unclean, because of taking our uncleanness on himself. And because he did that, because of his blood, we were sanctified through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And he was separated from God so that Yahweh would be there for us. Yahweh's there for us. We're made nigh through the blood of Yeshua. Well, here again, shalom comes through his blood too, doesn't it? Through the shedding of blood. That's how we have our shalom. Isaiah 53:4 says, telling us that Yeshua became broken so that we might be shalom. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs. That Hebrew word is choli, choli, disease or sickness. He became that for us. He bore our diseases and our sickness and carried our sorrows. That's machov, our afflictions, our pains, our griefs. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The fifth verse says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And here it comes. And the chastisement of our shalom was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. What does that mean, the chastisement of our shalom? Really kind of doesn't make it clear. His chastisement made us shalom, is what that means. His beatings, his discipline, the discipline that was poured on him, the chastising is what made us whole. Do you realize it all took blood? You know, these silver pictures of an execution stake with Jesus hanging there, looking like beautiful art. It wasn't beautiful art. In the first place, the Bible says that his body became so marred that he was not recognizable as humanity. Why would that have been? Well, I don't think any of us recognize the full power of sin. The full power of sin looses all sickness. The doctors, medical people tell us there are 39, and you know this may have changed in the years, but I heard this years ago, 39 main categories of sicknesses. He took 39 stripes on his back. 40 save one. But he became It wasn't that it was just something laid on him. He actually became sin. So I believe that every tumor, every vile sickness and disease that comes on people was on him at that moment on the cross. It wasn't pretty. And here's the thing that you need to understand about it. Blood covenant was gory. If you split a cow in half and walk between the halves, what are you going to get on your feet? Blood up to your ankles. A lot of blood. And so the cross was a place of blood. He shed his blood in seven different places. All for us. That's what we're talking about here. Here he's giving us back our shalom. The chastisement of our shalom, the chastisement that makes us whole, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So, if you really think about it, what or who is shalom? It's Yeshua, isn't it? Yeshua is shalom. Yeshua is our shalom. He is the one that we can say about nothing missing, nothing broken. That's why no bone could be broken on him. He was the sacrifice of God. That's why God said the sacrifices were never to have bones broken. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our shalom. He is our shalom, who made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between who? Where's this middle wall of partition between? Between who? It's us and God, but there's actually another place. If you read the text of it, between the Jew and the Gentile, we've all been grafted in. We didn't replace Israel. We've been grafted into Israel. We've been grafted into the covenants and the oracles of God. We've been grafted into a place where we can receive our salvation. Jew and Gentile, made one. The middle wall of partition. That's what this shalom means again. Nothing missing, nothing broken. All of the seed of God coming back into one. That's what the blood did for us. Yahweh Shalom. Our message. We have a message, don't we? And see, this is part about prayer. You know, when we pray, we're actually repeating the wonderful works of God. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost that tells that the people were speaking in tongues, but other people heard them in their own language? What were they speaking? It said, we do hear them in our own language speaking the wonderful works of God. So we think about speaking in tongues, we don't ever know what's going on. Because the understanding is unfruitful. And yet here we have on that first day when people understood in their own language that they were hearing them speak the wonderful works of God. I personally believe they were scriptural works of God. They didn't know what they were saying, but the people knew what they were saying. The people that could hear them in their own language. Wonderful works of God. What should you be praying? The Bible says if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. That's what's going on. When you speak in an unknown tongue, you're praying. What were they praying? Wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God were coming forth from him. So if we speak in an unknown tongue, what should we be praying? The wonderful works of God. We should be speaking his promises. We should be speaking his benefits. We should be speaking what we know of him. We should be saying those things. And so our message in Isaiah 52:7 is this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish shalom. Say shalom. Shalom. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness. Remember, we are righteous now because of what Yeshua did. The work of righteousness is what? And the work of righteousness shall be what? Shalom. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I tell you, it's all through the Scripture. This is part of our covenant. God says about His children, and I believe we can take this for our children. It says in Isaiah 54:13. I don't know about you, I repeat this over my children still. My children are grown, but I repeat it over them. I repeat this over my grandchildren. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the shalom nothing missing, nothing broken of my children. Because this is part of that covenant of shalom. That's what it's about. You remember Yeshua says he wants us to bear much fruit? Do you remember him saying that? This is my Father's will, that you bear much fruit. Well, listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, shalom, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. No law against that, is there? That's what the law is all about. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow shalom with all men. Now that puts it into a little bit different category, doesn't it? If I can follow it, what can I do with it? What can I do about it? If I follow shalom, what can I do about it? If it's something I can follow, what can I do? I just want you to see we have a part. This isn't just all automatic. He is shalom to us, but we have to follow it. We have to pursue it. We have to make a choice about it, don't we? Do you know you can make a choice to walk in peace? Walk in shalom. Amen? You guys aren't doing too good when I say peace.
Say it too fast.
That's right. I move along, don't I? Follow shalom with all men and holiness. But listen to what it says. Without which no man shall see God, shall see the Lord. How many of you think it's important? You think shalom's important? Aren't you glad He's made shalom to us? He made shalom through the blood of His cross. He is our shalom. Isaiah 26:3 tells us how you can put this into practice. Read it for me, somebody. Yeah. Go ahead. All of you can read it together if you want to. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. No, go ahead. Just read it out loud. Start it. Thou will keep him in perfect shalom. Now, would you be surprised to know that perfect is also shalom? The Hebrews have a way of making things mean more by saying them twice or even three times. Holy, holy, holy. That amplifies every time they say it. So when they say perfect peace, the word is actually shalom, shalom. Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, remembering that the root word was shalem, which means whole. So he means, I will keep them in the perfection of shalom, or completeness of shalom, the wholeness of shalom. There won't be anything missing. There'll be nothing lacking. And what is the way that you can make that happen in your life? What's it say? What can you do to make that happen? How can you keep shalom, shalom in your life? Focus. What'd you say? Same thing?
Yeah.
Keep your mind. It has to do with the mind. See, your spirit, if you're born again, it knows all it needs to know about God. It's filled with Him. He's right there all the time. But your mind, the carnal man, the carnal mind has to be adjusted. Say adjusted. Has to be tuned. And He says, if you want shalom, shalom, keep your mind stayed on me. Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth. He trusteth. Betach. He trusts in you. He leans on you with all of his heart. That's a focus, isn't it? Has to do with our focus. Shalom. Get this. This could be perpetual motion. Did you know that it's impossible to make a machine that's perpetual motion? Because it continually loses energy somehow and you can't have that. But here is perpetual motion in the spirit realm. Because in Philippians 4:7. Now remember what we just read. You keep in shalom, shalom if your mind is stayed on Him. And Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passes all understanding will do what? Will keep. What does keep mean? The Hebrew word, which of course this came out of the Greek as far as we've been able to tell, but the Hebrew word is shamar. Shamar. In fact, we read that Yahweh is Shomer Yisrael, the keeper of Israel. Keep. He shall keep. He shall guard. He shall protect your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, through Messiah Yeshua. Now think about that. If you take those two scriptures together, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, and that perfect peace will keep your heart and your mind, which can go back and begin to remain stayed on him, which will keep your heart and mind. You see, it just circles, doesn't it? It's a cycling promise. So what's keeping us? Why don't we do that? You see, it's a promise of God. We have it right there before us. You want to stay in the shalom of God? Keep your mind stayed on Him. But once you keep your mind stayed on Him, guess what? Then that shalom will keep your heart and your mind so that it can continue to do what He said. You must allow it. You must pursue it. You must keep your mind stayed on Yeshua HaMashiach. Colossians 3:15 says it this way, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. What'd you say?
Shalom.
That's right. Let the peace of God, the shalom of God, keep your hearts, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You have to let it happen. It's something we have to allow. How do you allow something good to go on in you? Huh?
You allow it.
How? How do you do it? How can I allow that?
You make a choice.
But, you know, in addition to that, now, you're trying to walk and keep your mind stayed on Him, but I'm right here, I'm your kid. And I'm saying, Mom, Mom, look at me when I talk to you, Mom.
Mom, get
Well, what we have to learn to do is walk in that in the midst of the things that are going on. But I'll tell you what, it's a learned thing. It's something you can do. God wants you to do it. He'll help you do it. Amen? You have to make a choice. And if life was all church, it'd be pretty easy to walk a Christian life, wouldn't it? If we could just sit here, why, it's pretty easy not to sin here most of the time. I mean, sometimes we get critical and say, when's pastor going to get this thing over with? That's critical, and that's a bad spirit. But most of the time, we can do pretty good. Where we have problems, when we go out into the highways and the byways, when we get out of here and the pressures of this world come, the persecution comes, the distractions come. But we can make a choice, and we can start it right here today. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Him. Right in the middle of everything that goes on, somebody said something nasty to me, something that normally I would have been offended. No, I'm not going to take offense. I'm going to let peace rule in my life. I'm going to allow peace to have a full sway in me. And the way we do that is we keep the Word of God inside of us. Because when the Word comes, if we will answer those attacks of the enemy with the Word of God, and sometimes it may be nothing more of than just what we've already learned here today. He keeps me in shalom, shalom, because my mind stayed on Him. And the shalom of God that passes all understanding keeps my heart and my mind through Messiah Yeshua. In Romans 14:17, this is the last scripture for today, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You know, a lot of times we think of God's kingdom as just being all a bunch of rules and doing things a certain way, and we get so tied up into those things. You know, that's not the kingdom. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, shalom, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So how many of you'd say with me today, come kingdom of God, come kingdom. I want you to pray with me right now, and I'm going to take you through just briefly the way I pray. And I want to teach you just a little bit about this. Some of you are catching on to this. Some of you probably already begun it. But if you'll get this down when you come, that you pattern your prayer after what Yeshua said. Father in heaven, holy is your name. You have a holy name, Yahweh. Yahweh, you are eternal God. You are God who never changes. You are my God. There's none like you. I worship you. I honor you. I hallow your name right now. Yahweh. Yahweh Tzid Kenu, righteousness. You became sin that I might be righteous. And I'm just going to jump over that one. But that's the way I would start. And then I would let that expand. And as I let it expand, you'd be thinking of scriptures that you know about righteousness. Let them become a part of your prayer. And then I would begin to say, Yahweh Mekadesh, I honor you and worship you today because you've sanctified me and made me holy. Through the blood of Yeshua, I'm made holy. And I choose today, because you said, be holy, for I am holy, I will walk in holiness. I will walk in the paths of righteousness. You are my righteousness. You are my holiness. And I will walk as you walk. I begin to make confessions for myself out of those verses that God gives, practicing them in my own mouth so that I can hear them with the inner ear and write them on the fleshy table of my heart. That's what I'm doing. The Bible says my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You see what I'm doing? By speaking those words. Henrietta and I walk around the lake a lot, and I'll do this many times as we're walking. We'll be saying these words. We'll be speaking. There's no rote prayer. It's as they come to our remembrance. We bring them up. And we say, Yahweh Shammah, you were there. You're in the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I have this temple of God. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And you are there. You never leave me. You never forsake me. You abide with me forever, even unto the end of the world. You made me near you by the blood of Yeshua. I thank you, Father. I thank you that I'm with you. And then to go into Yahweh Shalom, I'll say, Yahweh Shalom, I honor you and praise you. For you, O Lord, are my nothing missing and nothing broken. You made shalom through the blood of your cross. And you will keep me in perfect shalom. Shalom, shalom, as my mind is stayed on you. And the shalom of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and my mind through Yeshua HaMashiach. The mountains can depart. The hills can be brought low. But your kindness will never depart from me, Yahweh. Oh, I love you, Father. You're my Abba. You're my Abba. And I love you and I praise you and I honor your name today because you are my shalom. Your covenant of shalom will never depart. You're with me always. You keep me, Lord God. You've reconciled me through your blood. I have shalom. I have shalom. You took stripes on your back. You took a beating. You were chastised so that I could be made whole. I praise you for it. I thank you for it today. Hallelujah. I have the fruit of righteousness, peace, joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance work in me. I'm filled with your love. I'm filled with your joy. I'm filled with your shalom. You are my God, God of peace. I worship you. Worship you. Do you begin to see how prayer, hallowing God's name, praising God's name, can be made in confession form? And you begin to say just what the Word of God says about you. What does that do? Well, faith comes as you hear. Isn't that right? It comes as you hear. It comes as you hear what you're saying. And if you say it long enough, did you know if you tell yourself what the Word of God says about you long enough, pretty soon you really believe it? And all of a sudden, it's no longer just you saying it, but it's revelation. And so I pray today, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you would give unto everyone here and everyone that hears this a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of their understanding be enlightened so that they may know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in them as saints, and that they might know the exceeding greatness of your power in them which believe. That same power which you wrought in Yeshua when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand. I thank you that revelation knowledge flows today. I thank you that each and every one of us are coming to a place deeper than we've ever been, and that prayer is becoming delightful to us, no longer a putting in our time, no longer a time of drudgery and trying to get it over with. But Lord, it's a wonderful thing that we can just come apart, just talk with you. And Lord, that we can function and talk with you, that we can work and speak with you, that we can be in the midst of tribulation. But you said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In this world we have difficulty and trouble, but you are our shalom, and we worship you and honor you. We bless you in the name of Yeshua. Stand up and receive a blessing right now from the Word of God. We like to lift our hands because the Bible says, when this blessing is spoken, I will put my name on them. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Say, I receive it, and amen.